today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. We're going to continue with our vaccination hesitation conversation series in which we are trying to do our best to use this platform to give you as much information as you need to make the best decision for you and your family around the COVID-19 vaccination. I'm speaking now with Dr. Aisha Khoury, a physician educator who is committed to health equity and the elimination of health disparities. In 2019, she was recruited to become founding faculty at Kaiser Permanente Bernard J. Tyson School of Medicine in Pasadena, California. She serves as a facilitator for equity, inclusion, and diversity. On August 28, 2020, within hours of engaging her small group in a critical discussion on bias and racism in medicine, she was targeted, suspended, and ultimately terminated without transparency or due process. She's based in California. I'm so glad you're joining us. Dr. Khoury, how are you?
Hi there. How are you? Great to be with you.
I'm glad to have you here. We've been following your story. Can you first talk about the fact that COVID-19 has exposed so much in this country, especially health disparities in regards to Black and brown people?
Absolutely. I mean, and not just the pandemic has left us in a place where people have time to sit with the racism that we face daily. And I think we saw that tremendously in the protests that we had last summer. And we continue to see that with the health disparities related to COVID-19. But all it has done is highlight, I think, for the public what has been known within the medical community for years.
Now, you wrote on Twitter today, Black people talk about racism, others close their eyes and ears. We'll never reach equity if people aren't interested, are only interested in performance. Hashtag, we need Black doctors, but for us to be in medicine, Black docs can't be the victims of racism and champion anti-racism. Others must do this work. With that in mind, can you tell us your story about what happened with you as a Black doctor dealing with racism in the field?
Oh, sure. You know, as a Black woman who grew up in the South, you are very aware that you are Black in America and you face racism. I've been in a residency program where my advisor told me that I would never pass my boards. I've been in meetings with other physicians and nursing staff where the chief of my department has touched my hair when it was natural in an afro. But I did not expect that I would face racism coming to an institution named after Bernard J. Tyson, that an institution whose mission, vision, and values are dedicated to equity, inclusion, and diversity, and suddenly find my livelihood at risk. The week of August 28th, which is the 57th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, was a week within the institution, within the school, that we were focused in the curriculum on bias and racism in medicine. And I did not think that I would not be allowed to share my stories of bias and racism in medicine with my small group class of eight students. But within 9 hours of that class, I was suspended from my teaching privileges, and a few days later found out that I was also suspended from my clinic duties until an investigation took place. Thankfully, my students via their students of KP Twitter account have come out for me boldly. They've sent letters on my behalf, and I think it just really shows that there's a disconnect between younger and older generations.
So now, just so people, in case they don't know, folks, Bernard J. Tyson was a Black health executive of Kaiser Permanente. So you were teaching a class or running a group talking about bias and racism, and then you were targeted, and then ultimately, but what is happening with your case now since you were ultimately terminated because of this?
Yes, that is my belief. You know, Kaiser is a very big institution, and I'll, you know, the school is back by the Kaiser Foundation Health Plan. They have very deep pockets. I don't know that I'll ever get a chance to have a fair and unbiased platform. But what I can do is to bring attention to what happened to me so that other Black, Brown, and Indigenous people, as they enter into medicine, are aware, one, of what they may face, two, the playbook that is used against us, and three, ultimately hoping that I can bring enough awareness to this that people really start changing their minds about what is our commitment to diversity, what is our commitment to equity and inclusion. What happened to me is disgusting. I can't put it any more frank than that. You know, I was an institution where I thought that I could be myself. I was at an institution that is dedicated to the values that I have, the values that I grew up with in the city of Atlanta. My hope is that others will make a change. And as I said in the tweet today, you know, this change cannot come from Black people. We are not the ones committing racism to ourselves, right? This change has to come from our white brothers and sisters who are in places of power and places of privilege. They have to be the ones to say, are the decisions that I'm making reflecting the value and commitment that we have to equity and inclusion and diversity?
Can you connect this for us with what's going on, given the fact that only 5% of the doctors are Black versus, you know, only 56% of them are white? Can you connect this to why the Black and Brown community today has hesitancy about taking the COVID-19 vaccination?
So I think a lot of it has to do with an earned mistrust by the medical community. We have our individual experiences as Black people, as Black patients, where we did not feel seen and heard. We have endless history that shows that we should not trust the medical community. And then when you hear stories about Dr. Susan Moore, a woman, Black woman physician who felt like her only recourse to get the care she needed to be treated for COVID was to go on Facebook Live and ultimately die of COVID. I mean, we see these stories all the time. There is absolute reason for Black and Brown people to feel hesitant by a medical community that hasn't listened to them. My only hope as a physician is that they will listen to those of us who share that same struggle, who believe in keeping our community safe.
So how do we, Dr. Khoury, how do we convince our community about taking the COVID-19 vaccination? And let me tell you what I mean by that, because we're trying to help people get through hesitancy. We're not trying to scare them into making a decision. We're just thinking, if the whole world takes it and the Black community refuses to take it, where does that leave us? You know, how do you help people to make this decision so that they are feeling that they have some agency in the process?
Well, I think we do have tremendous agency in the process. I mean, one of our own helped create the Moderna vaccine, right? I also think that when we look at the statistics around vaccine hesitancy, what you actually see is a breakdown by age, so that the majority of older Black adults are actually interested in having the vaccine. And where I think our success is going to come into play is seeing those of us who we trust, whether it's community members who are physicians, whether it's community members who are church elders, whether it's our family members who are taking the vaccine and who are healthy, who are coming through symptoms of COVID and infections of COVID, and ultimately being able to be healthy, where we can turn this tide around from being ill and sick in the hospital dying to successfully living because we had the vaccine. I think we're going to get through it, but I think it's going to take those of us who we trust.
Okay, and then my last question for you, and I thank you so much for joining us today just to kind of talk through this and share your experience. If you could talk, finally, about how we can begin a much greater conversation surrounding the prevention of retaliation against Black faculty members for even discussing topics of bias and racial health disparities, because that is what it's going to take in order to get us to face it.
Absolutely. So I think, one, from the political perspective, we need our state and federal representatives to create anti-retaliation laws so that when we are doing the needed work, the recognized work of bias and racism, and combating bias and racism in medicine, that we are not losing our livelihoods. Secondly, we need more than the rhetoric. So last year, after and during the protests, after George Floyd's murder, all sorts of organizations within healthcare declare that racism is a public health crisis. Many of the institutions, including the one that I was employed by, used that moment to declare their commitment to anti-racism. But what needs to happen is we have to seek accountability of these institutions, and that has to be accountability on the public interest level, and that has to be accountability from the level of institutions. This is where institutions like the AMA, AAMC, ACGME, institutions that have to do with regulating medical education, have to come into play and put pressure on organizations that are not living up to the promise that is medicine.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Aisha Khoury. We appreciate you joining us today, a physician educator who's committed to health equity and the elimination of health disparities. Please keep us informed of your story.
Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak.
I appreciate you. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Negro, Black, African-American, how do you define yourself, and why do we need to have this conversation during Black History Month? This is Today with Dr. K. Stay with us. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Into our hot topic for today. What do you call yourself? How do you racially self-identify? We're going to just go ahead and open up the phones, and I'm going to give you some of the history, but we got to get through this, because this is the question I get all the time from people that are not of color. Do you go by Black, Dr. K? Are you African American? You know, I don't know what to call you. I don't want to call you the wrong thing. And so I want to ask you, the terms on the table, we used to be called colored. Now, the term colored, it was a dominant term in the mid to late 19th century. Hear me out. That is a term that Black folks coming out of American slavery, colored is a term that gained the upper hand because it was accepted and used by both the white community and the Black community. It was seen as being more inclusive. Now understand at this time, you also had a very active and robust and vibrant mulatto community. Now, why is that important? Because on the census, this is going back now, you take a look at the census at this time, you did have categories on the census. Mulatto was a category on the census prior to 1865 when they reclassified everybody as colored, right? But that was all inclusive. And so you had people who were considered to be colored, and then you had mulatto, right? You had Creoles, but that's going down to Louisiana. We're not going to go down that far into the Creoles. Octoroons, like there's a whole lot of categories the farther and the closer to Louisiana you get. But colored became the all-inclusive term for both Black folks and mulattoes. Colored was the term. It was interesting because the word colored, at that time, mid to late 19th century, it also expanded to include Asians and other non-white races. So colored was a very large banner that Black folks fit up under. In the late 19th century, the word Negro begin to gain greater acceptance. So there was a big movement to replace the word colored with the word Negro. So why was it a movement? Well, you had people like Booker T. Washington. You had people like W.B. Du Bois saying, look, we are not colored. We are Negro. There's some indication, too, that Negro was favored by Civil War freedmen, while colored was more popular among the established freeborn Black community. Talking about layers here, right? So people who had come up from slavery adopted the term Negro much faster than people that were coming from the freeborn community, who were classified as mulatto. Colored is what worked for them. Negro was also seen as grammatically more versatile, that Negro was both an adjective and a noun. It was both singular and plural. So I can say, oh, you know, those Negroes over there, that's the plural. I'm a Negro. I'm defining myself. It's an adjective and it's a noun. The term Negro began to replace the term color. Now, it was also more economical. Listen to this. Because Negroes, it was very clear that these were Black folks. Colored, you were not sure of which ethnicity a person fell under. Du Bois actually argued that Negro was much better and more logical than African or color or any hyphenated circumlocutions, that it was really Negro, according to Du Bois. That is the term that was all-inclusive. It was the term for Black folks. Also seen as a much stronger term. It was more philosophical in its meaning. It was more of an involved term, more of an emotional term. Just think about it. Negro art and Negro music and Negro poetry is very different than colored, which Du Bois said was a weaker term. It was a substitution when really we were Negroes. Interesting that the use of the word Negro also had a lot of pushback, because for some Black people, Negro was too close to the N-word. See, that's when there used to be some confusion. But if you go back and you listen to speeches from Dr. King, Dr. King talks about the Negro. If you go back and you listen to work from Paul Laurence Dunbar, the Negro speaks of rivers. Negro was the accepted term at that moment, more so than colored. What came up by the 1950s, as Negro was the dominant term that had been used, the term Black was introduced. Now, Black was promoted as standing for racial pride, militancy, power, and there was a rejection of the status quo. So to say you were Black, you were making a statement. You were taking a stand. You were doing what Stokely Carmichael did when they said, go ahead and drop it, when he dropped the term Black power. The word Black, the term Black, the label Black, the definition of yourself and calling yourself Black was favored by radical and militant Black folks such as the Black Muslims, the Black Panthers. It was adopted and picked up by the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Stokely Carmichael. Stokely Carmichael in 1967 wrote a book called Black Power, The Politics of Liberation. And in that book, he urged that the term Negro be abandoned, that we start calling ourselves Black. Now, during that time when we were pushing back against the white establishment, and we were willing to march in the street, we were willing to use what Dr. King said, a riot, which is the language of the unheard. When they talked to people that were involved in that kind of direct action, they found that they described themselves as Black. That there was something very respectable, think respectability politics, about the term Negro. That, according to Stokely Carmichael in the readings, Black meant young. Black meant powerful. Black meant strong. Black meant a rejection of the white establishment. We were not, quote, Negroes in the same sense as the pastors of that day, as the Dr. Kings and the Reverend Wyatt T. Walkers, who were the Negroes. Black folks were the young ones. The ones saying, no, we're not going to be okay. We're going to push back until freedom comes. The term black became the popular terminology. Now, what is interesting is that black was being used from the 1950s on up. When you got to the late 1970s, up to the early 1980s and into that place, black was virtually unchallenged. It was preferred by a large majority of folks. It was used almost exclusively by black organizations and was virtually the only term for blacks used in surveys. On a census, black was the category. Negro had been supplanted by the word black, just like Negro supplanted colored, right? But then, here's what happened. In December of 1988, at a meeting of black leaders in Chicago, Ramona Edelin, who was the president of the National Urban Coalition, proposed a change in terminology. It baffles you. These are things people sat around, they thought about it, black folks were meeting in Chicago. They're like, look, we don't want to be called black anymore. That's when they introduced this new term called African American. This is 1988. We need to call ourselves African American and not black. And you know who the person was who was the main spokesperson saying we are no longer using black, we're using African American. Think about who the most powerful, politically connected black person was back in 1988. Jesse Jackson. Operation Push. Jesse, I got a plan, Jackson. Jesse Jackson, who ran for president. I mean, I left college for a semester and campaigned for Jesse Jackson because I thought he was going to win. Jesse, you're going to run and you're going to win. It was Jesse Jackson who said, just as we were called colored, but we're not that. And then Negro, but we're not that. To be called black is just as baseless. Just as you have Chinese Americans who have a sense of roots in China, or Europeans as it were, and every ethnic group in the country, African American, that term gives us our roots. When we come back, are you colored, Negro, black, African American, or there's a new term on the block, and I'll tell you about that when we return, so stay with us. To the late 19th century. Negro, turn of the 20th century. Black, 1950s. African American, you can thank Jesse Jackson for that, 1988. There's a new term on the block that I don't really even understand. When people call me, are asking me, am I a BIPOC? Black and Indigenous Person of Color. I'm like, y'all, I don't say that I'm a BIPOC, BIPOC. I don't even use African American. I think we use it in my household, but my daddy fell out with Jesse Jackson, so we stopped using African American in our household. We stayed with black. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. I've gone with black. Now, Vernon Jarrett, who we talked about yesterday, said that being black was a label. It denoted things like being lazy and stereotypes. Being African American is about cultural significance. It invokes a cultural renaissance. It connects us to the motherland. It means we're from Africa, y'all. Are you black or African American? Now, I know. I just want to be clear. I've met some people not of color, and they take people of color and person of color, and they shorten that to, oh, you're colored. I'm like, no, we don't call anyone colored in 2021. If you want to say person of color, then say person of color. Say POC. Don't shorten that to color, because that takes us into another direction. Are you black? Or are you African American? Do you go with person of color? Some people on Facebook and Twitter said, I'm black today. I was African American yesterday. My dad said that he was born colored, became Negro, then he was black, then African American, person of color. He said he's gone back to just color. He's like, I'm just going back to the beginning. It's too complicated. Where are you with this? Does it even matter? And why is it that in 2021, black folks are still naming themselves? I just want to throw that out there. 410-319-8888. Let's go to G from Annapolis. G, how are you?
How are you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. How about Nigeria?
Oh.
N-I-G-E-R.
Okay.
Because when Hannah, when the, see, most of our history is based upon Roman capabilities anyway. So when Hannibal met the Romans, he asked them, they asked him who he was. He said, I'm a Niger. N-I-G-E-R.
N-I-G-E-R.
What it meant was, yes, what it meant was I'm the first and beginning of Ra, or I'm the first and beginning of God. Because when God created man, he dug into the dirt, the bowels of the earth, blew into man, man became a living soul. And so blackness was what we are. They understood this back then.
Mm-hmm.
So when the word was taken in the Roman context, it just meant that they were black.
Right.
So it went to the, and when the Romans conquered Spain, the word black became Negro. And so, but the word Niger, N-I-G-E-R, is a godly person. Because if you look in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, you will see what they call Simon. His nickname was Niger, because he was black. The same Simon that also carried his cross for Christ was a Niger.
Okay, well,
black.
Let me ask you, what do you go by Niger? Is that how you define yourself?
Yes, because I go back to the beginning.
Okay.
I'm the first and beginning of God.
Okay, I'm going to make a little category here. We have one Niger. Thank you so much. Sekou from Baltimore, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Dr. J?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Now, if you go back to the 1600s and the 1700s, that is from Richard Allen and Absalom Jones.
Yes.
They started the African Methodist Church.
Yeah.
They were not ashamed of being what they were.
Mm-hmm.
They still are African. All these other names that you talked about that came along after we were here for a while, irrelevant. I'm African. I'm not African Americans. I don't identify with Americans. They have never stopped killing us. Why do we identify with them? Black is an adjective, a descriptive word that tells you what you look like but not who you are. The proper name of a people should always reflect land, history, and culture.
Okay.
We're Africans. We have no friends in the world, and we have to save ourselves.
All right.
Have a nice day.
Thank you so much, Sekou. Okay, so Sekou, okay, so now I started with colored, Negro, black, African-American, and this BIPOC, the Black Indigenous People of Color. We've had another caller put Niger on the table, so I'm putting that down. Someone else just put African on the table, not African hyphen American, just African. And by the way, folks, let's be very clear. In calling ourselves African, we are connecting with a continent and not necessarily with a country, right? Because Africa as a continent is made up of countries like Kenya, like Nigeria, like South Africa, you know, like Togo, like Benin, like Ghana. Like, we can talk about that. Now, Darius... And we know Darius from Shortcuts, and congratulations, Darius is also a fellow. He's doing excellent work. He said, well, there's another word that you should put on, ADOS, African Descendants of Slaves. And understand, folks, that's very political. The ADOSers, who I love, I know y'all know I love y'all, it's very political when you take that stand. ADOSers typically are in support of reparations for documented African descendants of slaves. I am technically an ADOS. I descended from enslaved people. You know, my daddy's family, they were enslaved. My mama's family, they were. I'm an ADOS. But I know ADOS is a political stand. But I'm going to put ADOS on the table because Darius is like, no, you got to put that down. African descendants of slaves. Let's go to Natanya from Maryland. Natanya, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K.
Hey,
I said,
girl.
Justine, I said, wait a minute, I got to get it on. Whoa, look, those two previous callers, I'm on their page, but they kind of, I get it. They lost me a little bit.
Ooh, man.
But I had a question. My first year in college, 1995, he asked a question.
And I never really looked at it. Are you African first or American first?
Mm.
I'm going to be honest with you. I just always said I was just a black girl. That's just me. That's just me.
Just leave it there.
That's just me. Yeah. And I say that because, quick, my daughter, Halloween, she was three, four. I said, hey, I want you to be, what's her name? Ugly Spice. No.
What's Scary it? Spice. Wait, the black woman.
Yeah,
Scary
I want
Spice.
You to be Scary Spice, right? She said, no, I don't want to be her. I don't want to be her. I said, come on. I said, I think she's really cute. She said, I want to be Ugly Spice. I said,
is it
come
Ugly
on,
Spice?
Scary Spice is, yeah, uh-huh. it's more your speech. She said, Ma, listen. She said, I'm going to be a black girl all the time. Can I just be a white girl one time?
Ooh.
I said, girl, I'm going to need you to pump your brakes. But just saying that, I think it's just too many. It's too many. When you threw that thing out, when you said maybe they didn't know, but I came right with you and I said, Jesse Jackson is the one who called us African American.
You said we're African American.
You know, I was right on your page. I was like, yes, I know Jesse Jackson, Dr. K. I'm with you.
Jesse Jackson.
It's just too many titles. It's just too many titles.
It's too many. I think we need to decide on something here, though.
Well, I'm just. Dr. K, my hand is raised for, I'm a black girl.
You're a black girl. Okay. At least we got one vote for black. Because I'm just going to say, my hand is raised with you, sister. Thank you, Natanya. We have
You're
Anthony.
Welcome.
Yeah, we appreciate you. We have Anthony from Columbia. Anthony, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Good. Dr. K, I'm chuckling a little bit because if you remember Tiger Woods making that statement, I'm not black.
Capital Asian? Is that even a capital? I got to put that down. Capital Asian.
I'm not black because I got to represent my mother's. I said, well, Tiger, when the police pull you over, you black, brother.
Come on. He learned the hard way. He learned real quick.
But I just want to throw this out there for all of the callers who don't have health insurance. Just remind them, affordable health care is still in Maryland.
Thank you.
You got to get just go through. You can go through ObamacarePlans.org or .com and choose between Care First, Blue Cross, Kaiser, Aetna, and what you'll get is you'll get a Medicaid.
Good.
You'll get Medicaid so that you can come into, and I have to be biased because I listened to the sister who was from Kaiser. I work for Kaiser, and that way you can come to a Kaiser facility and you can get your flu shots every season. You can get your COVID shot and so forth and so on. But if people of color are looking for health insurance, Obamacare, Affordable Care Act is still alive and well.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate you. One of the things that Jamel Bowie said to me last night, I was sitting down, I did a colloquium with Jamel Bowie, the New York Times columnist. He said, presidents, if they want to change the country, it's about legislation, not executive orders. No matter how much they attack the Affordable Health Care Act, it is legislation. It is on the books, like No Child Left Behind. It's on the books. So the Republicans are attacking it. But folks, what Barack Obama did, not an executive order, it was a law. Legislation was signed in. So it's still there, and now Joe Biden has jump-started that. So if you don't have health care, do jump on that. Let's go back to our conversation. Cheryl's on the phone from Baltimore. Cheryl, how are
hey,
you?
Hey, Dr. K, how you doing? This is your girl, Cheryl.
Hey, so are you capital Asian?
Dr. K, you know, when you first started, I was like, in Africa, they go by their tribal names, right? That's how they would identify themselves. Am I correct?
You are correct. I'm a
Yoruba.
Okay,
so
I
don't know what my African tribal name is because I was born here in America. You know, my dad name was Gibson, so that I would love to go by my tribal name and because it dealt with your community and everybody knew each other in their community by their tribal name.
Yep.
You know, but now we just got so far-fetched and out of place with one another as a human race. You know, it's a human race. You're a human being. name.
Oh, I got, let me put that down because I don't have that category here, my girl Cheryl.
You're a human being. You know, and Dr. K, I was trying to get on the phone for a minute, but you had some hot topics, and I couldn't get on there about the COVID-19 vaccine. Yes. And I just want you to know that I did my part for humanity. I took my first shot, and I get my second shot this coming Saturday.
There you go.
I want to make a difference in our community. It's one person at a time. They saying we is dying at the higher rate.
We are.
I need to do my part for my mother. You know, I'm trying to get her vaccine. I told her, you got to talk to your doctor. My mom's 81 years old. I need her to be vaccinated.
Yes.
You know, I need my nieces and nephews and my sisters and brothers to be vaccinated. They don't understand it. It is very important.
It is. It is. I'm glad you said that.
We want to live whatever, quote, normal life is.
Right. If we ever want to get back to it, we're going to have to talk about it.
But it ain't going to be normal.
It's not going to be normal. It's going to be a new normal.
Dr. K, I'm going to keep wearing my mask because you don't know who ain't got vaccine.
I'll be masked for a long time. They'll bury me in my mask, trust me.
Do you have your card? You got to ask somebody, do you have your card?
Thank you so much, Cheryl. I appreciate it. Somebody asked on Facebook Live, they wanted to know, when did Afro-American come into play? I'm assuming it didn't last long. Actually, Cheryl, along with African-American, they were using Afro-American. There were some people, reporters, who were saying, look, African-American is cumbersome. Like, it's hard, you know, this long thing to write it. And they shortened African to Afro-American. And people had a real problem with Afro-American. They're like, okay, wait a minute. How did we go from color to Negro to Black to African-American? And now we're Afro-American, a shortened version. Let's go to Donna, a new caller from Columbia. Donna, how are you? Donna, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm calling in regards to the nationality issue that you're speaking of.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. First of all, we're only one people. And your nationality is derived from the land from which you come from. Through the centuries, because of slavery, we've been given any name that anyone wants to call us. Colored, Negro, Black, Afro-American, African-American, anything that the European, the so-called white man, decides that he wants to label upon us. Everybody, all other countries, people that come here from all other countries, identify themselves from their country that they are derived.
Right.
Whether you're Chinese, you're from China. If you're Italian, you're from Italy. We are the only people on the face of the earth whose identity changes to whatever situation people want to put it into. It's a systematic denial of the birthright of the people of this country. Our nationality is Moorish American. We are the Moors of this land.
Okay.
And this land was occupied prior to any Europeans coming to these shores. And when they came to these shores, we relinquished our forefathers' heritage and took on the names and cultures that these people put upon us. So therefore, that makes us second-class citizens. If you call yourself colored, Negro, Black, African-American, or Afro-American. And see, a lot of people say, well, I'd rather be African-American. Well, Africa is a continent. You're supposed to identify with the country that you come from in Africa.
Okay, so the term you have on the table is Moors. Do you so
it's Moors.
So when you do
Moors.
For the census, do you write in that?
Yeah, well, when I'm filling out any type of document, I cross out, I either put check other, if they have an other, I check other, and I write in Moorish American.
Okay.
Or I write in Moorish American automatically. I never check Black. I never checked colored or any of those. Those identification codes that were established by the United States to remove our true national name from the history books.
Okay, I got to stop you there, Cheryl. I mean, Donna, I appreciate you. So, folks, here are all the terms. This is why we have a lot of work to do in our community. Listen to me. Okay, so colored, Negro, Black, African-American / Afro-American. BIPOC, Black and Indigenous Person of Color. 6, Niger. 7, African. 8, ADOS, African Descendants of Slaves. 9, Human Beings. 10, Moorish Americans. So when we start talking about this, understand that how you name yourself, it's about identity. It's about who you are and who you used to be. It's not about just throwing out a name. Are you Black? You stand in Blackness. Are you an ADOS? Are you an African descendant of slaves? How do you racially self-identify? And then what's even more important, why can't all Black folks agree on how we racially self-identify? In this phone call alone, this one show, we done gotten a whole new bevy of terms. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm just saying, even we can't agree on how we want to be called. Jesse Jackson said in 1988 that all Black folks wanted to be called African Americans. That's what Jesse Jackson said. Now, my dad said a lot of Black folks had a problem with that. Black ministers specifically said, Jesse Jackson's not the Pope. He cannot rename us because he feels it's the right thing to do. He has no right to do that, but it did pick up. Why? Because reporters started using the term African American, and then it gained fire. Let's go to Ted, a new caller from Severn, Maryland. Ted, how are you?
Boy, this is a complicated subject. How you doing?
Yes, it is. I'm doing well. Thank you.
I mean, our reality is, Dr. K, and nice to meet you finally, too,
yes,
is that no one can negate that we went through 400 years of slavery, right? That's traumatic. And we lost our names. I mean, let's just face it. You know, we have last names of slaves. So we have to do something drastic and different. And the only thing, and I'm from Chicago, by the way, but I live in Maryland. And the only thing that even touches the right subject is to at least name ourselves after the land that we came from. I mean, that's the common theme that I've heard from everybody. At least tie your name to your land. Because talking about what tribe we came from, we know we lost that. So that's a fallacy. For most people, that's a fallacy. So the closest we're going to come is to at least tie ourselves back to the land and then associate ourselves with the land that we live at. And that's what Jesse was doing. So I think there's a play called Sizwe Bonzi is Dead. I don't know if anybody on this call ever heard that play, right? And that's what the play was about. Sizwe Bonzi used a name of a passport that he found because he was in South Africa, and he picked it up off of a dead man, and his friend told him, no, you can't take somebody else's name. And the whole play was about a name, right?
Yep.
He said,
support.
No, I want my own name. And you got, oh, and speaking of that, they had passbooks in South Africa and the same thing. And they had these same similar categories of color, mulatto, Africana. So this is not new. This was done in other places where we had to serve under servitude. So the only close thing to me that even hits the button is African American, not because Jesse said it, because all these other things don't tie us to our land.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, folks. This is a hot topic. What do you call yourself? How do you racially self-identify? And why can't Black folks, so you can see already what term I use, why can't Black folks get one name for ourselves? Why is it so complicated? Rosalind's on the phone from Baltimore. Rosalind, how are you?
Hi. I'm fine. How are you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
I want to add some more to the list, another name to the list. I just wanted to have folks that are in your listening audience to look up the 1747 British map that shows the Kingdom of Judah, which was on the west coast of Africa, and there you will find a place that was called Negro Land.
Uh-oh.
Because the word Negro came from somewhere. So Negro Land was in the Kingdom of Judah. And with that, somebody that called in, they spoke about how the people identified by your land, your culture, and your history. Well, our history is that in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, it says that the people of Israel, true Israel, would be oppressed for 400 years in a strange land. And we are those people because we have been oppressed for 400 years here. And at the end of the 400 years, the Creator is going to deliver his people, the people of the book, which we are, and he was going to judge the country or the nation where we were. And I just wanted to share that, you know. So Israel was scattered, and we were sent to the islands, the Caribbean.
So you call yourself an Israelite?
Yeah, only because, and that's broken down into tribes.
Right.
And I believe that
the 12 tribes.
Predominantly here in America, we make up the tribe of Judah, because when we were scattered and dispersed, the Creator said he was going to do it according to our sins. So we here in America are really heavy into imagery and idolatry. So, you know, that and because Judah was called, it's about the praising of the Creator. We were created. That tribe is to praise him. And when you think about it, nobody on the planet can out-sing us or out-dance us. And we're to praise him in the dance and naturally praise him in the song. So he wants us to praise him that way, but he also gave us the gift to do it.
Okay, I got to stop you there. Thank you so much. Okay, okay, we're up to 11 terms. Let me just say, okay, colored, Negro, Black, African-American or Afro-American, Black and Indigenous people of color, Nigerians, Africans, African descendants of slaves, human beings, Moorish American, and now we're Israelites. Black folks, we can't even agree on how to name ourselves. Let's go to Amir, a new caller from Baltimore. Amir, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I identify with Hameta.
Hameta?
Hameta.
Okay. How do you spell that?
That's we are sons of Ham. Sons and daughters of Ham.
Okay. Hametic. Okay.
All
right. So we're descendants from Ham, Hameta? Which was the son that was cursed because he saw his father Noah naked on the ground and didn't cover him up. So we're cursed from Ham, because Ham was cursed.
Ham was cursed.
Okay.
And they identify us after that as Hamitic.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. That's 12 terms, folks. Hamitic, which is from Noah's son Ham, which is the son who saw his father naked, and Ham was cursed. You understand? I want to just connect. Stop here for a second. Put a pen in for a second. That it was during slavery that the plantation owners during their so-called church would teach enslaved African people that they were descendants from Ham. Therefore, they were cursed and they were sent back here on this planet to serve their brothers, which were the plantation owners. That's very interesting that there are people who connect to that term. Curtis from Anne Arundel County. Curtis, how are you?
Good, Dr. K. How are you doing today?
I'm trying to get to the bottom of this question here.
Hey, the conversation is really interesting, but, you know, you have a lot of people here that made some really good or had some really good suggestions, but I just like to keep it simple, Dr. K, even though I agree with the lady that was saying that we are the true Israelites from the tribe of Judah. That's the one I really agree with, but to make it real simple for myself, I'd just like to consider myself as a human being first.
Okay.
But most importantly, when it comes to your nationality, I think of myself as an American because, like the one person was saying, your nationality depends on where you were born at, what continent or what land you were born in. And being as though most of us here in America that was born in America has never been to Africa or any other continent or place. We're Americans. We're human beings first. But when you talk about nationality, we are Americans because we were born in the land called America.
Okay, I got to stop you there, Curtis. And I know we have Ms. Shakur, Manny, Jay, Carolyn. Do we have time for any more phone calls? We have time for one more. Let me just read this one email from Martin. Martin said, I consider myself an African-American, but I am trying to get used to saying an African-American of Yoruba or Tikari descendants because I took my African ancestry DNA test. You can get your DNA test and figure out who you are. Who's last? We'll go to Carolyn from Maryland. Carolyn, how are you?
Hi. This is a question really that gets to my heart. First of all, I always said that I am American first.
Figure out who you are. Who's
that?
We'll go to Carolyn from Maryland. Carolyn, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Hi.
Hello? Okay. All right, let's go to Ms. Shakur. Ms. Shakur, how are you?
Hi, fine, thank you. I'd like to state that those of us born on the American continent are American first, like Curtis said. Then, if you are of African descent, you are then an American African because you're born on this continent, on the American continent. An African American is a person who was born on the African continent who may have migrated to America. They get their status, then they become African American. Their children, thereby, if born here in America, they become American Africans, but they are the true African Americans.
Okay, I got to stop you there, Ms. Shakur. I appreciate you. Folks, we were talking about identity. It's Black History Month. Colored, Negro, Black, African American, Afro-American, Black and Indigenous people of color, Nigerians, Africans, African descendants of slaves, human beings, Moorish Americans, Israelites, Hamitics, Americans, or American African. We're going to have this conversation tomorrow at 3 p.m. And don't forget, tonight, 8 p.m., is our first annual Black Coffee House celebration. Grab your coffee, grab your family, send me an email, todaywithdrk@gmail.com. And I will send you the Zoom link. I'll see you tonight at 8.